The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. We conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime.
Bob Mueller, special prosecutor there, stepping up to the microphone today, did not take questions, but what he said shook Washington, and you have renewed calls from Democrats about impeachment, and it certainly made some waves. Renato Mariotti is joining us, CNN legal analyst and Chicago attorney. Renato, when you heard those words, I'm sure you were watching, what did you think initially? What did you think about him stepping up to make a public statement, and then what he said as well?
You know, for me, what I saw was I'm sure that folks watching had a different perspective because they aren't viewing it from the same lens. But to me, this seemed like a very pointed set of statements by Robert Mueller. He was trying to figure out how to stay within an appropriate lane for himself and not, you know, say anything that was inappropriate, and yet still counteract misconceptions and mischaracterizations of his work that had largely been perpetuated by Attorney General Barr. I think he was trying to clear the record and try to, you know, clear up any misconceptions and obviate the need for him to come out and testify publicly and veer outside of his carefully chosen words, because I think he rightfully believes that prosecutors get themselves into trouble and do things that are inappropriate when they start freewheeling in the way that, for example, James Comey did relating to the Clinton investigation.
But he's an experienced, he's a veteran, and he says that he does hope this is the only time I will speak publicly on this matter. I've carefully chose my words in that report. We did as a team, and it should speak for itself. I won't say anything outside of those words, basically kind of daring Congress to say, go ahead, call me to testify. I don't want to. You should not do that. Doesn't he still have to if they call him to testify? Testify, subpoena him?
Yeah, and I think he will follow the law. Just to be clear, I don't believe that if he's subpoenaed that he's going to ignore subpoenas or do anything like that. But I think Robert Mueller would like a situation where he issued the report. You know, I think he would have preferred if Attorney General Barr had just issued the summaries from his report or issued the report itself and let the report speak for itself. I think he's uncomfortable being in a situation where he's trying to combat misinformation and spin off of his report. And what he did today was he picked and chose different sentences from his report and chose to emphasize certain ones over others, in an attempt, I think, to clear up some confusion about, for example, his decision not to reach a prosecutorial judgment regarding obstruction of justice. And I think he was hoping that by making this statement today, that he would eliminate the need for himself to testify publicly. I don't think that that is the case. Mm-hmm. I think that he is only going to create more questions. But, you know, Robert Mueller is clearly, I'd say, a master at investigating crime and reaching prosecutorial judgments. It's not clear to me he's a master at managing press and spinning the press and, you know, the political judgments that come from, you know, that I guess dominate the news at this point.
Well, and to your point, there's been spin on both sides. You saw the spin about how his office had already prepared an indictment of the president and then chose not to move forward with it. That had come out and circulated. There was so much maybe he felt the need to address. How much of it was that, do you think, that he was responding to? And how much of it was just sort of speaking to Congress, say, I don't want to testify?
You know, when I first heard that he released a statement, my initial thought, or that he was going to make a statement, my initial thought was that he was doing it to clear up that false report. I mean, that's what I would call it, a false report that he had prepared an indictment of President Trump. And I was assured privately by multiple journalists that that was not the case, that he was going to talk about other subjects. And when I listened to his comments, it didn't really appear that any of it was directed towards that issue at all. I think what it was directed towards is he wanted to do a few things. It was clear that he wanted the public to be focused on his findings about Russian interference in the election. You know, he made the point at the end that there was very, you know, substantial allegations about Russian interference, three different schemes to interfere in our election, and he said that those allegations should capture the attention of every American. You know, he made that kind of his punctuating point.
Right.
So clearly, I think he believes that not enough attention has been paid to that point, and obviously we still have a case in which President Trump, I think, does not accept the fact that Russia was the ones behind those attacks on our election. So I think that's one issue. I think a second point that he was trying to make was that, you know, as to this issue of court, what I think the media and the public have called collusion, that really what he was saying is that there was not sufficient evidence to charge a conspiracy. And that's beyond a reasonable doubt. I think he clarified that point. And I think as to obstruction of justice, what he wanted to clarify was that because of the DOJ policy against indicting a sitting president, he never went down the road of reaching any prosecutorial decisions. I suppose that his statements there could have been meant to dispel that false report that was out from Mr. Wolf about him preparing an indictment. But I took it more broadly as, you know, him clarifying remarks that were made by, or contradicting, really, remarks that were made by Attorney General Barr. Attorney General Barr had repeatedly said that, you know, the DOJ policy did not play into Mueller's reasoning. That was contradicted by the report. Mueller made, I think, a point of mentioning that today and saying that essentially he felt it would have been unfair to reach a conclusion one way or the other about obstruction of justice because he, you know, President Trump couldn't go to court to challenge his conclusions if he made them. And, you know, he really laid that out. And I think it's a very nuanced and restrained and fair-minded approach by Robert Mueller, and unfortunately being restrained or careful or nuanced is not rewarded nowadays, and I think he's learning that.
The pushback I've heard on that is that if it is his decision and his office's decision to make the determination about whether this is a prosecutable case, whether or not you have had the ability or are limited to how you can charge a sitting president, that there should have been some determination, and that instead he came out and he sort of allowed for some wiggle room to say, hey, you know, I'm kind of signaling to Congress, at least certain Democrats believe that he's signaling Congress, there probably is enough here, guys, if you take the baton from here, but this is all I'm going to say on it. I'm not going to move in either direction. Our office made that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, you raise a really good point. I will be candid with you and say that if I was the special counsel, I would have reached a conclusion, because I believe that for a president of the United States, the political process of impeachment is the process by which he either proves or disproves, you know, or which he, you know, can disprove the allegations. Robert Mueller thought differently, and I don't ever want to criticize a prosecutor for showing restraint, because prosecutors have extraordinary power over people's lives, and I will say that I have seen examples of prosecutors abusing their power and, you know, going beyond what they should and ruining people's lives. So if a prosecutor ever shows restraint or a sense of fair play, I'm never going to criticize them for that, and that's what I think Mueller was doing here. I will say that he certainly went out of his way to connect the dots. At one point, he mentioned the process of impeachment in
a how-to?
Yeah, it was that for him, I think, is extraordinary in terms of how far he was willing to go. Just so everyone who's listening to this understands, I don't know Robert Mueller personally, but I do know a lot of career law enforcement folks. I was hired by Pat Fitzgerald, who I think, when I was a federal prosecutor and served under him for many years, and I regard him as the sort of a person that Robert Mueller is. Somebody's a law enforcement person through and through. I worked with many people like that who are uncomfortable putting themselves in the political spotlight, don't view that as their role, view themselves as, you know, trying to stay in their own lane as a prosecutor. And I think Mueller feels uncomfortable putting a soundbite out there that might be grabbed by either side. And so he was trying to, you know, get Congress to orient itself without giving a soundbite that would suggest that he was, you know, on one side or another.
Renato, as we see this play out, and you have just a very innocuous way of explaining the process of impeachment from Mueller today, the Democrats, they have been struggling as a party to decide whether or not this is the path. Does the statement that was made today in the press conference, do you think that that will have unilateral change with this party, that, that now seems like they are have a direction to take towards impeachment?
You know, I will tell you, I've actually spoken to members of Congress privately about this situation. And one thing that I've been told is that Speaker Pelosi, even if she wanted to, doesn't have the votes to impeach. In other words, there's a split amongst the caucus that some members want to pursue an impeachment inquiry. Some members do not. And so she doesn't have a very wide majority. So it's a situation where I think in part she's trying to keep her caucus together and trying to proceed at a pace that keeps everyone unified. I think that's part of what's going on. But I think another part of what's going on is that she's made some political judgment that impeachment is not the way to go. And I think that, and this is just me, this is not me repeating what a member has told me here. This is me saying my view, which is that I think that there's going to be some sort of tension or reckoning on this soon, because the base of the party wants to pursue impeachment. And there's a lot of people, I think, who were moved by the statements of Elizabeth Warren and other Democratic presidential candidates who said that they believe an impeachment inquiry is the right thing to do, regardless of the electoral consequences. But on the other hand, there are members who are of Congress who are in swing districts who are worried about the impact of that and would rather be focusing on issues like health care. And I don't know where it's going to lead, but I think that what may end up happening, for right now there's an in-between, but you know, I think that there may be a renewed push to at least open an inquiry, if not have a vote.
It does blow my mind, only in the way that they're really dealing with one specific issue when it comes to obstruction of justice that came out of the Mueller report. And it seems like it was proven, you know, obviously there's redactions and things of that nature, but there seems to be a lot of proof in that report that would suggest that happened. So can you make an argument that the Democratic Party is putting politics before the American people by deciding whether or not to do this? Isn't that just their job, as Mueller lined up today, to say this is what your course of action, it's your turn to do that, as opposed to playing this game about whether or not they're going to win in future elections?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I guess what I would say, I'd say a couple things about it. I mean, on the one hand, and I would say I think it's, I'm more persuaded by the argument that they have to do the right thing, because if they don't, you know, if they believe that there is substantial evidence to support obstruction of justice charges against the president, then they should act. I mean, I will say I find the words of Congressman Amash, the lone Republican talking about this, very persuasive, in which he said that we really shouldn't be focusing on the electoral consequences. And frankly, I agree with him that the conduct by President Trump goes beyond a typical obstruction of justice offense. It's really more heinous conduct than that. That said, I will say this. I mean, one thing that Nancy Pelosi has mentioned is that this is going nowhere in the Senate as currently constituted, and that's something that should be considered. And I agree with her that that's something to consider, because I will say, speaking as a prosecutor, former prosecutor, not as a, you know, any sort of political analysis, I do. Prosecutors think all the time about whether or not a jury is going to convict, right? You don't bring lots of cases and put people through a lot of drama and your witnesses and victims through a lot of drama if you don't think you can bring the case. And so, you know, part of her reasoning, I think, is that the Senate's going to do nothing. But I really believe that the process itself could change minds. And I think no matter what, the Democrats should be moving forward with an inquiry and an investigation of this. And I don't really care what it's called right now, but there really needs to be some sort of reckoning on this in terms of witnesses being brought in and the public being educated, because I think one thing we learned today is that a lot of people have not read the Mueller report and haven't digested his findings, because Mueller basically repeated lines from the report, and some of it was news to a lot of folks who were watching who really hadn't read it in great detail.
Mm-hmm. Finally, before I let you go, I just want to ask you, Bob Mueller deciding to leave the Department of Justice today, anything to read into that? What's he doing there?
I think what I would read into it is that he believes that any work that him and his staff could do regarding redactions or, you know, any of those issues are are put in the rearview mirror, and he believes that he's transitioned the investigations he has to other prosecutors. Mm-hmm. So I would just say that his work is done.
And he hopes to never hear from anyone in Washington again. That's what I heard from that. Renato Mariotti, thank you for joining
us.
We'll talk to you again soon. We appreciate it. CNN legal analyst, and he's also a Chicago attorney. We're going to check in and see what's happening in the news at the top of the hour here on WGN Radio. And for that, we head over to Kim Gordon.
You better behave. Uber is setting new rules for rude riders.